Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live. Verse 19. Surely mine oath that he hath despised and my covenant that he hath broken. You say, Pastor Anderson, are you reading the same verse over and over again? I'm not. These are all different verses. How many times is he going to bring this up? Oh, by the way, you made an oath. You made a covenant. You see, the point is here, the big, colossal sin that Zedekiah has done is by swearing an oath in the name of the Lord and breaking his word. That's what makes God mad. Okay. Now, here's the thing. You could look at things that the United States does and say, well, I think what the United States is doing here is good, or, well, I think what they're doing here is bad, or I think this is ethical, or this is not ethical. But you know what? One thing that's clear is that if the United States promises to do something, they need to follow through on what they promise to do. Okay. So if they sign on to some kind of an agreement that says, we're not going to use torture, then, and they make that vow, then they shouldn't be using torture. Even if you thought it was ethical to use torture. Which it isn't, by the way. And by the way, we also have a document called the Bill of Rights. And the Eighth Amendment to the Bill of Rights says, cruel and unusual punishments shall not be inflicted. And it doesn't specify on whom. It just says cruel and unusual punishments shall not be inflicted. So could our government actually ever legally torture anyone for any reason? And the answer is no. Because of the fact that we've made that agreement as a covenant. We've got the Constitution. The Constitution is our covenant. And you know, it's amazing how the United States doesn't honor that covenant of the Constitution. There are so many things in the Constitution that don't get honored at all. They're meaningless. I could give you a whole bunch of examples. You know, the Constitution says that for any dispute of a matter of over $20, we get a jury trial. So what if Raymond and I have a dispute over $100. If we go down to court, you think we're going to get a jury trial? You say, well, that's stupid because $20 isn't what it used to be. No, you want to know what's stupid? What's stupid is that $20 isn't what it used to be. That's what's stupid. I'm not being stupid. The people who print money and have made $20 be a lot less are the ones that are stupid. Well, that's not what they intended when they wrote that. You know what they intended when they wrote that? They intended that $20 would stay $20. Because it would actually be based on precious metals. You know, silver is pretty much worth the same as it was hundreds of years ago. Gold is pretty much worth the same as it was. You know, if we were buying gasoline and gold, or buying gasoline and gold now versus then, or buying our groceries with silver now versus silver then, you know what? What's this inflation that you speak of? You know what inflation is? It's the government printing money out of thin air that's not backed by gold or silver. Now, here's the thing. You might say, well, Pastor Anderson, I think the Federal Reserve is wonderful. And I think printing money out of thin air is wonderful. And I just love fiat currency and the debt-based economy. Okay, well, then you know what you have to do then? You either have to amend the Constitution and change that $20 figure, or you are breaking a covenant that you've made with the American people of what you're going to do as a government. Why do we just, but see, the problem is we think it's okay to just ignore the Constitution. And here's the problem. If you start ignoring the part about $20, well, what else are you going to ignore? You know what you're going to ignore next is the Sixth Amendment saying that every crime, because that's for civil matters, right? The $20 or more. Every criminal matter gets decided by a jury, all of them. And by the way, the Arizona Constitution says the same thing. But is that what actually happens? I mean, if I committed a crime where the punishment is up to 90 days in jail, I will get no jury. Only a crime that could send me to jail for more than 6 months gets me a jury trial. Now, back when I went to court in 2009 about that Border Patrol incident, I had a jury trial. But only because of the fact that the prosecutor stipulated that. Like, we demanded a jury trial based on the Constitution because Mark Victor, attorneyforfreedom.com or whatever his website is, he's into the Constitution and freedom. So he just always demands a jury trial. Even though it's just going to get denied, he just asserts that. He just files tons of motions because that's what good lawyers do, right? They just kind of just hit him with a bunch of paperwork and just aggressive defense. Just keep them busy and mess with them, you know. So it's just like demand for a jury trial. But here's the thing. The prosecutor was nervous that the judge was going to rule in my favor. So the prosecutor's like, okay, let's do a jury trial. So it's very out of the ordinary that I had a jury trial for something that literally, if I would have been convicted, it would have been a $400 fine. So, I spent over 10 grand on a lawyer so I could not pay 400 bucks is basically what I did, you know. It didn't make a lot of sense financially, but it was quite a ride, you know. So it was a good time, though. It was a learning. I was paying for education for other people, not for myself. I was educating other people. But anywho, the point is, and I learned a lot, too. The point is, though, that, you know, I can be put in jail in Arizona for a month or 3 months or 6 months without a jury, with a judge just sentencing me. Whereas in reality, every single crime, according to the U.S. Constitution and the Arizona Constitution, should get a jury trial. We're guaranteed that in a Bill of Rights. But do we get that? No, we don't get that. It's just a judge deciding. Unless it's something big, then you get a jury trial. Okay? This is not right. And you say, well, you know, you expect them to get a jury for every little dumb thing? No, here's what I expect. I expect them to stop arresting people for every little dumb thing. Because if it's not a big enough deal to have a jury, maybe it's just not a big enough deal. You know what I mean? Maybe we just shouldn't worry about it. If you're going to say it's so minor and doesn't matter, well, then why are you arresting me? And if it is a big deal, then we need a jury trial. Okay. And here's the thing. You could disagree about whether juries are good or bad. Maybe you disagree about, you know, the $20 thing. But the point is, though, that's the commitment that was made. That's the oath that has been made. And all of the police and politicians and military, what do? They swear an oath to uphold the Constitution. That's a commitment. That's a vow. That's an oath. And yet, we just, even just the Bill of Rights, the most sacred part of the Constitution, the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, we're just like, Sixth Amendment, nuts to it. Eighth Amendment, nuts to it. And we're just blowing these things up. Well, okay, what's next? The First Amendment? Second Amendment? I mean, pretty much the only amendment that our government doesn't violate is, you know, they haven't tried to quarter troops in our house yet. You know, those of you that have actually read the Constitution know, what is that, the Third Amendment? It's the one that we never talk about, you know. So I talk about First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, you know, and then there's the one, Seventh, Eighth, we've just talked about. And then there's the Third Amendment, you know. I've never had the government try to quarter troops in my house, but they've pretty much violated my rights in every other possible way. Okay, so, you know, it's sort of like Samson when the only thing he hadn't done was cut his hair. You know, he made all the other mistakes. So anyway, the point is, though, we shouldn't take this lightly. Oh, by the way, you know what else the Constitution says? It says that only Congress has the power to declare war. And yet, how many wars have we fought without the Congress declaring war? Every war since World War II. The last country, and if you're ever playing Trivial Pursuit, this will help you out. The last country that the United States ever declared war on was Hungary in 1945. Or something, maybe I have the year wrong, but it was for sure, it was sometime in the 40s, it was during World War II, before it was over, because it ended in 1945. Sometime in the 40s, the United States declared war on Hungary, because Hungary was allied with Nazi Germany. So that's the last time we declared war, was the 1940s. So what wars have we fought since then? What have we fought since then? We fought the Korean War, Vietnam War, Gulf War, part 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, the Gulf War had more sequels than, you know, I don't know, Spider-Man or something. What, which franchise has the most sequels?
Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious? I've never even seen that. I don't know what that is, but. Okay, it's got more sequels than Fast and Furious, the Gulf War. Like, I can't even keep track of the sequels. I can't even keep track of that universe. There's too much canon to deal with in that universe of the Gulf War. But I mean, all these Gulf Wars, Afghanistan, Iraq, all undeclared wars. Why didn't Congress declare war? Why didn't we say, like, all right, we're declaring war on Afghanistan? Declare war on Iraq. No, instead, here's what happens. The president just gets up and he's just like, an hour ago, we started bombing them. He, like, tells you about it retroactively. So yesterday, we bombed them. And then it's like, and then we're going to ask Congress to approve it sometime in the next month. And they still don't do a declaration of war. It's just like within a month, they're just like, yeah, you bombed stuff. That's not what the Constitution says. You know, shouldn't the elected representatives of the people in the House of Representatives and the Senate, shouldn't they be the ones making the decision whether we go to war or not? Not just a president. Whether, I don't care if it's Bush or Clinton or Obama or Trump or Joe Biden. You know, basically, whoever it is, you know, they shouldn't just be able to just unilaterally declare war. And a lot of times it's political motivations for having these wars. And so I don't care what you think about these issues I'm bringing up. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think about politics or whatever. We should all agree that you have to keep your word and do what you said you would do. And if you're going to sit there and say, you know, hey, I am swearing to uphold the Constitution. I mean, isn't that what Joe Biden said? Didn't he get up and put his hand on the Bible and swear before God that he's going to uphold the Constitution? Then he can't do these things. He needs to be reading the Constitution and seeing, like, okay, you know, this is what it says and whatever, and then do what the Constitution says, because that's the commitment that he has made. Okay.